Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Hope we're all doing well. So for those of you who have not figured it out yet or have not looked at a calendar, it is our Christmas Eve service. So this is exciting. Exciting stuff. I mean, when you're a kid, you look forward to Christmas for the presents. When you're an adult, you look forward to burning a hole in your wallet. And so it's exciting times regardless. And I really felt God just reminding me through this season of that childlikeness that we used to experience like during Christmas time. If you could take yourself back to when you used to, when you were a kid and you used to anticipate Christmas time. You used to look at your gifts under the tree and be excited, just ready to unravel what was there for you. God's really wanting us to do that tonight. He's wanting us to treat tonight like a big gift that we get to unwrap. And through the communion, through the worship, through the service, he just wants us to unwrap it in anticipation for what he has. So let's go on ahead and stand, please. God, I just thank you so much for tonight. I just thank you for the amazing people that have gathered here today to worship you, God. I just declare that you would enter this room and just do what only you can do, God. That as we continue to unravel the night, as we continue to unwrap this present that you have for us, God, that the excitement would not fade, but that it would stay. That we would be prepared for whatever you have to do in our lives. And we just thank you so much for all of this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Where I lay it down, every burden, every always done a communion during the candlelight service. And some may say, Pastor, why are you doing communion at a candlelight service at Christmas? Well, because Jesus is the only individual that ever was born with the purpose to die. That was his very purpose, to die. As the song says, the story of amazing love. And in Mark chapter, chapter 14, it says here that verse 22, as they were eating in the upper room, Jesus took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So we're going to do family-style communion. So come on up and grab the elements. I'm going to move this because I'm... I'm sure all the ones that were visiting Jesus, the shepherds, maybe even the angels, didn't truly understand all the ramifications of his birth. Of course, he didn't at the moment he was a baby. But God the Father knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he was giving the greatest gift to mankind that he could possibly give, his own son. The gift of gifts. And when Jesus on that night said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it. Remember me. Drink. This is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you take of it, remember me, what I've done for you. The greatest gift. And Lord, you left this gift for us right now to remember you in this wonderful ceremony of communion that you have instituted. And Lord, right now we remember, Lord, what you've done for us, that you came, you left your glory, God with us. You left your glory and came as a humble servant. Ended up in a manger, a place that animals, that was for animals, not for people. Yet that showed the humility that you came to earth in. A bond servant and a servant even to the point of death. So Lord, right now we say thank you for your great gift. We say, Father, thank you for the gift of your son. And we pray that this communion time right now, that we would draw closer to you in our hearts and in our lives, and respect and honor your death, Lord, for us, your coming for us. And we just receive right now the bread. It's a representation of your broken body, that you were broken so that we can be made whole. And we receive it now with thankfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, your blood was shed for us so that we could be cleansed and made whole and stand righteous and pure before God. That no matter what our behavior has been like in the past, Lord, your blood has made us right with God and pure and white and holy. Lord, right now we receive, Lord, in this communion cup, Lord, the gift, Lord, of your blood cleansing us and sanctifying us, purifying us, restoring us to a place of right relationship with the Father. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. The story of amazing love. Can we sing that one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, favorite worship song is Love Came Down. It's one that I think is written by Bill Johnson and another man. And I was reminded of it as we were singing. But it was the shorter version, Love Came. Love Came. And I was talking to a couple of the ladies before we started, and they were asking, how Christmas was going and all of that. And it's such a reminder for me of when I lost my dad, because he passed a couple days after Christmas. And Christmas is not a happy season for me like it used to be when I was a little kid, an older kid. But then the Lord reminded me as I was standing there that love came. And love came with the purpose of giving. And giving 100%. And so as we go into this time of candlelighting and just being with one another, I want us to remember that we got the best gift. It's not about us at all. It's love came. And all we have to do is receive. And from that, everything extends out. I was reading a story about a man that had two Christmas trees. So he was going to give one away. And he was living in Michigan area. And so he posted it online and said, free. Whoever tells me the best story, it's going to get this tree. And he got hundreds of people with the stories. And one of them in particular really struck him. And this is how the story went. This lady wrote back and said, we have had our Christmas gifts under a paper construction tree for years. We tape it to the wall because all we have is paper. We don't have a tree. And so he figured that would be the one that wins. He was going to give that tree to that lady because she and her kids celebrated under a paper construction tree that was taped to the wall. But then he got to looking at all these stories coming in, and he's like, how can I pick, though? And so God really put it on his heart to go and buy 40 more trees. So he did. He went and bought 40 trees because to some people, $25 for a little tree was all the money they had. But for him, it wasn't that big a deal. So he went and bought 40 more trees to give out. And this older lady messaged him and said, I was so touched by this that I want to donate money to you to go and buy ornaments for all of those trees. So all of these people that he had picked out, there were 40 of them, also got the ornaments to decorate the tree. Long story short is love came. And from that love extended out to him, all of these other families were touched in a way that he never even thought of. This year, let your heart be what's extended. Let that be the extension of Jesus to others. Amen. So we're just going to greet one another. There's coffee if you'd like to go and grab a cup. And we will continue on in just a few minutes.
I love you. All right. It's hard for me to not say good morning. So forgive me if I say it. But good evening, I suppose. We're going to keep it moving and do our declaration. And we're going to go ahead and declare some good things over our city. As you may or may not know, we continue to believe good things about our city, believing that God is going to move mightily and that he is moving mightily. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, and we're going to say this in unison. We're going to say this with our heart posture towards heaven and believe that God just is going to continue to see amazing things happen in our city. Amen? Amen. All right. So say this with me on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for our valley. We thank you so much for what you're doing, how you continue to move, what you're pouring out, God. And I just pray, Lord, right now, Lord, over every person that calls this place home, God, that calls this valley home, God, that they would be blessed, God. Lord, that we would see revival sweep the streets, God, of individuals, Lord, young and old, from every demographic, God, from every class, God. We just thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your blessings over our city, over our valley, God. And we just thank you so much that you love us and you're with us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You could be seated. We only have one slide, and that is just our giving slide. And you guys know the drill, but I'll say it again, that if you want to give, and if you've been giving, thank you for one. For two, if you want to give, you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. And then we have a box in the back and a box over here. And yeah, we appreciate that. And is that it? Is there anything else? All right. So would you guys help me in welcoming Moses? He's going to bring the word tonight. Let's give it up for Moses.
I need one. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here again in the house, and I haven't spoken in a while. And but something's been on my heart, you know, during this time of the season, you know, and just wanted to share a little bit with you. And I know it's the time that we all get together as family and friends, and it's a great time to get together. You know, growing up, our family always got together. You know, it was always great. And you know, mom and dad are gone now, and you know, and it's but now we have our own memories, you know, with our own kids, and you know, everybody running around getting gifts and, you know, sharing the greatest gift that has ever given to us, right? I guess the question when Gaylene was up here, I guess the rhetorical question came up is, what are you doing with the greatest gift ever given to mankind? What are you doing with it? You know, we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're Christians. We live out our life every day. There are ups and downs, and he's with us. You know, I was raised in the church. You know, you see the ups and downs of our faith. You know, as challenging as it is sometimes, you know, and the battles that come ahead, you know, we can always come to Jesus. He's the one constant. I can always say in my life, he's always been the one constant. My life may go up and down, but Jesus is the constant driver in my life. I can turn to him, my highs and my lows. I can speak to him as plainly as day, as we're speaking right now. Some people think that's kind of weird, but hey, I would really challenge you to get in that kind of relationship with Jesus. You know, you don't have to be, you know, if the Lord calls you to scream and yell, hey, scream and yell. But in your prayer closet, it shouldn't be weird to have communication with your Lord and Savior, with the one who loved us first, you know. And during these seasons, you know, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus in the first chapter of Matthew. Yes, you read it, you know, and how the angel came down and, you know, blessed Mary. We all hear the story of Mary, blessed among women. We all know her. You know, she was chosen by God. You know, we all know the stories of reading throughout the Gospels, how she was there during the miracles and the crucifixion of her son, you know. And but I want to talk a little bit about Joseph. You know, we hear Joseph was a righteous man. And it just seems like we just go over that verse really quick all the time, you know. But when you came down and look at it, the faith that this man had to have. Now, can you imagine your girlfriend, your wife, or your fiance coming and saying, "Hey, I'm pregnant, but it's okay. It's of God." As a man, you're kind of like, yeah. And it even says in the Bible, he tried to put her away secretly because he was a righteous man. He didn't want no harm to come to her. But it says that the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. But even with that, us men, we're pretty hard-headed. We're stubborn. You know, it took an act of God. It took an act of God to reveal himself in that it was okay. And I admire Joseph's faith for believing every step of the way. I mean, here's his fiance, the one he's going to marry, pregnant. And he's like, how can this be? But he had the faith in God, knowing and hearing the voice of the Lord, and he even named him Jesus. And throughout the story of Mary and Joseph, you hear how the angel of the Lord came to Joseph all the time, said, hey, take him to Egypt. Get him out of harm's way. And Joseph obeyed. Joseph's faith was so strong. I when I started reading through those scriptures, I'm like, wow. He said, hey, it's okay to return back. And he took care of Jesus. He looked after him. We hear, like I say, we know the story of Mary. But sometimes it doesn't matter in your life how small you think the role is that the Lord is using you. It's great in his eyes because it's for his kingdom. You know, Joseph didn't see him nailed to the cross. I don't think he saw him perform miracles. But he knew that he was the Son of God. He believed that it was the Son of God. That faith right there, I'm just looking at him like, wow, you know, it took the act of God to literally come down and show him in visions, you know, to reveal himself, to say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. So during these trying times that we're going through and we see the world going crazy, literally, yeah, we need that kind of faith. We need to stand strong. We need to hold on with that kind of faith. When God says move, you move. Don't hold back. Remember, God is always with us. What are you doing with the greatest gift ever given to man? What are you doing with it? It's in you. Reveal it. Like I said, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be preaching to a million people. It could be to your friends and family. During this time of the season is the time that is easiest to share our faith. We're challenged every day, you know. But what greater time than celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? You know, when the Holy Spirit says, open your mouth, speak. Remember, it's not going to be your words that come out. It's not. The Holy Spirit will reveal himself and share his love that person needs. Because if you look out throughout this whole world, even just throughout the valley, as we pray every Sunday, you see the hurt out there. I go to work and I hear these people's stories and I'm like, man, how can they make it without Jesus? You know? You know? And then I later on, the more I hear, and then I understand how, you know, there's substance abuse. There's, you know, all kinds of, you know, they're looking for an alternative. But we have the answer in Jesus Christ. We have the answer. And during this time, he is the reason for the seasons. We need to share that. We need to share that. Not only in Christmas, but every time we walk, whenever you're given that chance to speak Jesus, he'll give you the words. He'll give you the words. I've been in a lot of those situations where all of a sudden, you know, I'm speaking and I don't know what the heck I'm saying. You know, it's the Holy Spirit leading me. I'm like, okay, he needed to hear that, you know. And it is. You know, I share this all the time when I at work. You know, I'm in a place of authority at work, so I'm kind of don't want to seem like I'm pressing, you know, or pushing my views on people. But when the Holy Spirit asks you, tells you to speak, you speak. There was a situation where a coworker was talking about, you know, what they did over the weekend, and I knew he was a Christian. I knew he had backslidden. I knew his past and stuff. And he's talking about all this and that. And I don't know why it came out of me. Well, I know why, you know. Just, I go, that's a shame. He goes, what's a shame? Your kids aren't not even going to have a chance. He goes, what do you mean? At least you heard the gospel and you had a chance to say yes or no, to reject it. Your kids aren't even going to have that option. They're only going to know one way. And he's just like, left flabbergasted. And as I'm walking away, I'm like, what did I just say to him, you know? You know, it was, you know, and I spoke out of authority, and usually, like I said, I was at work, and I usually don't, but when I just felt compelled to speak that, I'm like, your kids are not even going to have a chance. At least you had the option to say yes or no to Jesus. At least you knew him. And then fast forward a few months later, I see him and his family there at Walmart, and on a Sunday afternoon, I go, hey, how you doing? He goes, oh, we just got out of church. You know, yeah, he went back, you know, and I thank the Lord for that. You know, sometimes it's just a little word, a little nudge, you know. And it's not like you said, you don't have to be preaching in a street corner unless the Lord tells you to preach in a street corner, do it. But sometimes it's just those little things, caring, nurturing, you know. Sharing what you have in your heart, sharing what the good news is that the Lord and Jesus, that's why Jesus came and died for us. That's why we celebrate the birth. That's what we celebrate. And his death and his resurrection. It's great. That's why he came. That's why he came. So he is the reason for the seasons. That's why we celebrate. Remember that throughout the holiday seasons. Enjoy your loved ones, you know, they're, you know, I always look forward to Christmas, you know, even though we didn't have much, sharing my Christmas moment, you know, with my family, even though we didn't have much, but Mom always made sure we at least had one gift, you know, even if it was just a Hot Wheels car, you know, and during this holiday season, I see that in my wife. She makes sure everybody's taking care of them. You know, just hustling and, you know, making sure at least the kids get something, you know. And really appreciate that, seeing that. Like I said, you know, Mom and Dad, they're celebrating up in heaven. And I thank God for them, you know. And I see that a lot. And I just want to thank God for that. And just share the good news. Share the good news. And that's all I really wanted to share with you guys today. And I'll pass this over to Pastor Mike.
And share the good news. The good news that never ends. It's good news not just on Christmas Day. It's good news tomorrow. It'll be good news, you know, July 15th. It's going to be good news forever. Amen. And so, you know, I like to say that Easter's every day. Really, as Christians, we should think that Christmas is every day, because we get to receive afresh and anew God's gift in our lives every single day. Amen. I want to give anyone who would like an opportunity just to share maybe what a special story, what Christmas means to you, or maybe it's something this year that the Lord's revealed to you about this special time. You don't have to, but it's kind of a family time, so I like to give this opportunity. So is there anyone who would like to share anything about Christmas, what it means to them? I know for me, as I've shared before, Christmas went from being just a you know, an event that I did every single year, and it was like a give me, to when I really realized that it had a purpose and a meaning in my life that was eternal, and that Jesus came so that I could live and live a new life. So that's my testimony. Anyone else? Come on, don't be shy. We're family here. You might share something that might really help someone going through this time. You never know. Anyone? No one. Okay. That's surprising. Usually we have a few. Go ahead, Debbie.
It's not really about Christmas per se, because Christmas is every day, like you said.
There you go.
But when we got the song list this week, there was a song on there. It's called "We Did It, Make Room," and I'm telling you, it wrecked me because I think I shared with Skyly one day, we're not born again and again and again. We really aren't. But holy, we are invigorated.
Amen.
If we make room.
Make room.
So I've been pretty much wrecked all week, but it's a privilege to be wrecked, you know, for him. And so, yeah, remember that every day, because if you make room, you know, even if, you know, people say things that I call them blinders. Maybe you don't want to hear it at first. Yeah, you don't see your blind spot, I mean. And even if you don't agree when they see your blind spot, be willing to. Be willing to see what someone else sees.
Yeah.
Just make room.
Yep. That's good. So. Thanks, Debbie. All right. See, we got it kicked off. Come on, someone else. We've got preachers here. We've got teachers here. And they're all just like all of a sudden gone. Closed lip. You shared a little bit. Yeah. So you're off the hook, you think? Okay. Oh, I thought Eric was making the move. Okay, well, if no one else has anything, then we'll go ahead and get ready. Let's go ahead and prepare the room for our candle lighting service. So we're going to need to start dimming all these lights. Yep. We have a lot of lights to dim. So I was thinking about what scripture would be appropriate for the candle lighting service tonight. And I know they show up in almost every nativity scene, the wise men. And I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble, but they weren't there that night. They came probably 2 years later. But they were on a journey to see him. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" It was a star that drew them. It was light that drew them. There was a light in the sky that communicated to them a truth, that the Savior of the world, that the King of the Jews was born. And they left their places that they were living and, who knows, families possibly, and they traveled a long way to see this King of kings, this Lord of lords. It says, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, what time the light shone to them. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from there to their own country another way. It was light that drew them. And that's one of the reasons why I love the candlelight service, is because the emphasis is on the light. It's the emphasis is on where darkness is present, the light can come and pierce through the darkness and eradicate the darkness. You know, it says that Zebulun and Naphtali, and they were a place of darkness. And it says that when Jesus was starting his ministry, it says they had seen a great light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so when he was born that night, there was a star that had been prepared from the very beginning of creation that would show them to let the world know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had been born. So we're going to go ahead now and take this opportunity to symbolize this light in our life with this candle lighting service. So I want to give you some instructions, because there's a proper way to do the candle lighting service and an improper way. When you have your candle lit, or if you're trying to get your candle lit, let me give you one more candle here for a second. Let's say this candle is lit. You take the unlit candle and you take it, you take the unlit candle and you go to the lit candle and then you hold it upright. This is so that we don't get wax all over the floor and wax on your clothes and everything. So once everybody has their candle, we need to get a candle to Jesse. Or you can come down, Jesse, for it. Can you hit those lights right there now, Jess? Okay. It's going to go dark here in a second. What? Those? Quite a bit. What? Leave it going? Okay. Getting outruled here. It's not pitch black. Does everybody have a candle? Okay. Looks like we got a screen on in the back. On that night that Jesus was born, there was a star. And it was showing the world that the fullness of time had come, and that it was time for Jesus' life, God's life, the Christ life, to start. And for 30-something years, he walked this world. And in his final 3 years, he exhibited the nature and love of God to that world. And at the end of his life, he let his life be extinguished so that you and I can have that light. one by one, as the Lord has touched us. We've had opportunities to share our light with others. Or someone shared their light with you. One by one, the dark world was broken because of sin. Started being full of light. Did you get yours lit, Jess? Come on down. Jesus told his disciples that you are the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. And no one puts a basket over a lit candle. Lord, we thank you for giving us the light of life. Piercing the darkness out of our lives and allowing us to see this life through your eyes and with your heart. Thank you, Jesus, coming as a little baby to bring the light of God into the world. And thank you, Jesus, for letting that light be extinguished by your own choice. You laid down your life so that we could have light and life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, hold your candle and you can extinguish it by blowing on it. There you go. Give it a moment for the wax to harden so it doesn't spill. And someone can hit the lights. Praise the Lord. God is good. This is one of the things that Eric. Yes.
I need help with the names.
Okay, I'm still right in the middle of service. Not yet. No, no. So my encouragement to you is let your light so shine among men that your Father in heaven will be glorified, especially in this coming year, because I have a feeling the world's going to look very dark, and it's going to need light, true light, as Moses was sharing. We need to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit, and when he puts something on our heart, we need to share. We need to make room for God in our lives. Maybe get rid of some of the stuff that's been crowding God out for some time and allow him to be able to do what he needs to do in us so that we can be the light to this world. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have refreshments. Gay is making her famous coffee punch, which is killer. And God bless you all. Have a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next week. Praise the Lord.